Lord, our God, we are mindful again as we turn to your word that it is from you that all blessings flow. That indeed Christ is the fount of every blessing, spiritual blessings and physical blessings as well. And so, O Lord, as we feed in the green pastures of your word tonight, may we rejoice in what you did for your people of old, sending them manna in the wilderness, where men ate of angels' food, as it were. And may we rejoice that still in this day you set a table for us in the wilderness. We're so grateful, O Lord, that you've called us here again tonight to feed on Christ and to be nourished with his life-giving word. And so bless us as we turn to your word this evening, and would you grant to us a fair meeting with Christ. And even as we think upon these truths together tonight, every time we eat of our daily bread, may we be mindful that we do not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from your mouth. And so, O Lord, keep us steadfast in your word and bless us this evening, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, as we consider the truths that we read just a few moments ago from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, dealing with the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer regarding our daily bread. I'd like to consider those truths with you together tonight from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to read the chapter in its entirety. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we make our way through these verses together tonight. And as we turn our attention to God's Word once again, we do so mindful that God has given us His written Word because of the special care that He has for us and for our salvation. So with that in mind, let us hear God's own Word. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our study of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, we've been making our way through the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We've considered together the preface of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven. We've looked at the first petition, Hallowed be thy name. At the second petition, thy kingdom come. At the third petition, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so tonight we come to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And as we saw in the Catechism a few moments ago, in this petition, we're praying that of God's free gift, we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy His blessing with them. Well, I want to consider this petition with you tonight from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy, as you may well know, is the farewell address of Moses. This is his final speech to the children of Israel, those people that he has led for 40 years in the wilderness. The children of Israel are now on the border of the promised land and they're about to enter in, but Moses himself is not allowed to enter because of his sin. And so here in Deuteronomy, he addresses them for the final time. And it's noteworthy here, I think, in Deuteronomy 8, what Moses points them to, what Moses would have them remember as they're about to enter the promised land. Notice what he points them to. Not the burning bush, not the plagues on Egypt, not the Passover, not even the crossing of the Red Sea. Instead, what Moses points them to here in chapter 8 is something much more simple than all of that. Something almost ordinary. He points them to their daily bread. He points them to the manna they've eaten for the last 40 years. Why does he point them to their daily bread? Haven't they had enough of that? Well, he points them to their daily bread to remind them of their complete and utter dependence on God. You see, by providing them bread every day in the wilderness, God was teaching them a lesson. He was teaching them to depend upon Him. They must not forget that lesson when they enter the promised land. And so you'll notice the way that Moses begins here in chapter 8 in verse 1 by saying, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. Why does Moses call them to obedience? Why does Moses call them to keep the law of God? Why must they be careful to do the whole commandment? Well, Moses says, why here in verse 1, that you may live and multiply, that you may go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. They will receive the land by the gracious promise of God, that gracious promise made to Abraham so long ago. That promise made to Abraham was a gift of God's grace, but now their living and multiplying and going in and possessing the land is conditional upon their obedience. If they keep God's law, they will live and multiply and possess the land. If they don't keep God's law, they will die, they will decrease, they will be exiled from the land. Here then are blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. Here is life for obedience and death for disobedience. Later on in Deuteronomy, you recall that the children of Israel will stand on two different mountain tops, half the tribes on one mountain, half on the other tribe, and they will proclaim those blessings for obedience, those curses for disobedience. You see that already here in chapter 8. This is the treaty of the great king. God has brought His people out of the land of Egypt. He's led them these 40 years. And why has He done this? Well, notice verse 2. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. This time in the wilderness was a time of testing, a probation, if you will. This was not for God's benefit. It was for the people's benefit. God already knew what was in their hearts. They needed to know what was in their hearts. The purpose was that it might humble them. And you'll notice this test, this probation, these 40 years in the wilderness centered around their daily bread. Verse 3. He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And we see something very interesting here as Moses sets these things before the children of Israel on the border of the promised land. Even as Adam was tested in the garden in terms of eating, so Israel was tested in the wilderness in terms of eating. And the point of the lesson should have been clear. God was teaching them to rely on His Word. The test for Israel took place in the wilderness where there is no food, where there was no way of providing food for themselves. How could you possibly feed over a million people on a daily basis when you're in the wilderness? You understand then what God was doing. He was humbling them, that they might know what was in their hearts, that they might know that they live only by the Word of God, that God alone is the one who is able to preserve them and to keep them and to bring them in the land and to keep them in the land. God says in verse 4, your clothing did not wear out on you and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in His ways and by fearing Him. God was disciplining the Israelites even as a father disciplines his son. All of this was intended to lead them to keep the commandments of the Lord by walking in His ways and by fearing Him. You see, God was teaching His people in the wilderness that they must seek their life, their spiritual life, and even their physical life from Him alone. Their physical life was sustained by the daily bread that God provided. Their spiritual life was sustained by the Word of God, teaching the Israelites and teaching us that God alone is the source of all life. And this lesson, which was to be learned in the wilderness, was a lesson that was to be remembered in the promised land. Look at verses 7 and following. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. What a contrast is here between the wilderness that could provide no food for them and the promised land where they will be able to eat and have their fill in abundance. And here in this land of plenty, Moses says, remember the manna. Remember your daily bread. When your stomach was empty in the wilderness, you learned the lesson that you depend upon God for everything. In the wilderness, God emptied you of yourself that He alone might fill you. And so now when you enter into this good land, into the promised land, and your stomach is full, don't forget the lesson. You still depend upon God. You still depend upon Him for everything. Don't forget the manna. Don't forget your daily bread, and let it lead you to bless the Lord. Moses makes that more clear still in verses 11 and following. He says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of a flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And here Moses makes very clear that breaking God's commandments and rules and statutes is equivalent to forgetting God. To help them remember God, Moses lists the blessings of the Lord to them, the blessings they will experience in the promised land. Full stomachs, good houses, herds and flocks in abundance, silver and gold in abundance. These are the blessings of the Lord that He will give to you in the promised land. And Moses is saying here in effect, don't receive the gifts and forget the giver. He is the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt. He is the one who brought you out of the house of slavery. He is the one who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness. He is the one that fed you with manna. He is the one that did this to humble you and to test you. He is the one that has done all of this to do you good in the end. So don't think for a moment that it's your power and your might that have gotten you this wealth. No, it's the Lord your God who gives you power to get wealth. And all of this simply confirms the covenant He made to your fathers, as it is to this day. And then Moses ends with a very solemn warning. Verses 19 and 20. If you forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And again, here we hear the echoes of God's word to Adam in the garden. In the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And so here, if they follow other gods and serve them and worship them, Moses says, I warn you today that you will surely perish. If once you are in the land, you forget the Lord and go after other gods, serving, worshiping them, you will perish. Moses makes clear here that the wages of sin is death. If they go after other gods, they will be no different than the nations before them. And so written clearly over this chapter then are the words, remember the manna. Remember your daily bread. Remember that you live not by bread alone, but by the word of the living God. Well, you know Israel's history. We could go on to read in the book of Joshua, for example, that by the time Joshua dies, and in the book of Judges, by the time Joshua dies, in Judges 2, verse 10, an entire generation has grown up that does not know the Lord or the things which He had done for Israel. The very things of which Moses warns them here, the things that have come true, they've forgotten the lesson. They didn't remember the Lord their God. They lifted up their heart in pride. And they repeated the sin of Adam in the garden. They thought they could live by bread alone. They forgot the word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. And beloved, we would be no different. Adam needed the word. Israel needed the word. We need the word. The word that proclaims to us that we are entirely dependent upon God for everything. And especially for our salvation. You see, what Adam forgot in paradise and what Israel forgot in the promised land, Jesus remembered in the wilderness. You think of those accounts in the gospel where the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tried, to be put on probation, as it were. And for 40 days, there was no bread for Jesus in the wilderness, no bread for Him to eat in the desert. And at the end of 40 days, His stomach was empty. He was hungry. And it was then that the tempter came and said to Him, "If You are the Son of God, then command that these stones become bread, and eat of them and have your fill." Satan's temptation is insidious. He suggests to Jesus, "If You are truly the Son of God, You don't deserve to be hungry. If You are truly the Son of God, You shouldn't suffer like this. If You are truly the Son of God, exercise Your power. Exercise Your rights. Turn these stones into bread. Eat and be filled. You'll not only satisfy Your hunger, You'll prove that You are the Son of God." You understand what Satan is offering Jesus. He's offering not a morsel of bread. He's offering Him glory without suffering. He's offering Him the crown without the cross. Do you remember Jesus' response? Well, He quotes our passage. And He says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus quotes the Word of God because Jesus lives by the Word of God. Jesus remembers the Word of God. Jesus does the Word of God. And He does this because He loves His Father. He does this because He loves His people. He does this because He's come to save sinners. In order to do that, He must keep the law, and He must keep it perfectly. He must love the Lord His God with all of His heart, soul, mind, and strength. He must love His neighbor as Himself. And He must suffer the penalty of that law. He must take upon Himself all of our forgetting of God, all of our breaking of God's commandments, all of our transgressions of God's law. He must pay the penalty for our sin as He suffers the curses for our disobedience, as He dies for our disobedience. He must be exiled from the land, exiled from God, forsaken of God. And here in that temptation, we find Jesus absolutely committed to the way of the cross. Because He is absolutely committed to keeping the covenant with His Father, He will do all that He has said He will do. Adam failed. Israel failed. But Christ prevails. He passes the test. He passes through probation. He would not accept glory without suffering. He would not accept the crown without the cross. He would not take heaven without His people. So what is God's Word telling you and me over and over again? Well, it's telling us that life is found only in Christ. That He is the bread of life. And that we must feed upon Him to live. You remember the story there in John 6. Chapter that begins with Jesus feeding the 5,000. And near the end of that chapter, Jesus says to the crowds, to the thousands that were gathered around Him, to the thousands that He has just fed, He says to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For My flesh is true food, and My blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me, and I in him. As the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on Me, he also will live because of Me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Do you remember the response of the crowds? They said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" And they began to grumble among themselves. And then we read at the end of the chapter that after this, many of His disciples turned back and no longer walked with Him. Chapter begins with Jesus feeding the thousands. It ends with just His 12 disciples. One of them, Jesus will say in a moment, is a devil. But after the thousands turned back and walked with Jesus no more, Jesus turned to the 12 and He said to them, "Do you want to go away as well?" And it was Peter who answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You see, beloved, this petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," is a petition that should remind us of these truths, that we do not depend upon bread alone, but that we depend upon the very Word of God. The fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer then is not a matter of the law, as though we must pray this enough times to make ourselves worthy to receive our daily bread. No, the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer is a matter of the Gospel. Even as our physical life depends upon the bread we eat, so our spiritual life depends upon Jesus, the bread of life. We need Jesus for the whole of the Christian life. We cannot go it alone, not even for a day, not even for a moment. That which lies in our hearts should teach us that. Our hearts are no different than the hearts of the children of Israel or the hearts of our first parents in the garden. And so we need to continually cast ourselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is our righteousness before God. And so, in very practical terms, it's a good thing for us to pray each day at mealtime, "Give us this day our daily bread." And it's a good thing to follow that up at mealtime with reading God's Word. To pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," and to read God's Word, remembering that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And as you pray for your daily bread, remember this wonderful truth, that while your daily bread is given to you, the bread of life has been given for you. Each time your plate is full, each time you eat, each time your stomach is full, may it not lead you to lift up your heart in pride, but may it lead you to humility before God as you think upon Jesus, the bread of life. And may you taste and see once again that the Lord is good. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our God, we are so thankful that you've taught us to pray this petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We have need of bread daily. We have need of food daily. And so in something so ordinary as our daily bread, you've written into the fabric of our lives gospel truths, that we might remember the bread of life, that we might remember even as we eat of our daily bread, even as we go home tonight and eat of that bread, that we might remember that we live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. That we live only because of Jesus, the bread of life. And so, O Lord, as we pray for and give thanks to you for our daily bread, may our hearts also rejoice as we give thanks to you for the bread of life, for Jesus, our dear Savior. May we continue to feed on him. And may we go forth into the week before us with joy in our hearts, with peace in our hearts, with the comfort of knowing that we belong body and soul in life and in death to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen.